Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Stephen Overly. The names and addresses of millions of Americans can be found through voter registration records. That's been true since Congress passed the National Voter Registration Act in 1993. But technology has changed a lot since then, and those records can increasingly be found online, where they can be readily accessed and used for doxing and harassment.
It's very scary. I think seeing how easily it's done and also just seeing the motivation for these campaigns.
This is reporter Alfred Ang. He covers data privacy issues here at Politico, and his latest story delves into the legal fight over voter registration data. See, a number of states want to restrict voter information from being published online, but conservative groups are pushing back, arguing the information is necessary for election transparency. And the Justice Department, under President Biden, has backed them in court.
There's always this push and pull with transparency and privacy concerns. But I think the complaint is that privacy is usually an afterthought in a lot of these situations. And these risks are becoming more and more real for people who are registered voters and now have their addresses just publicly available.
On the show today, Alfred tells me more about that tension and what it means for voter privacy. Hey, Alfred, welcome back to Politico Tech.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Alfred, if I'm a registered voter, that means information about me is public. What kind of information is out there and how easily accessible is it?
Yeah, it depends on what state that you're living in. There's about 32 states right now who have their records publicly available online that anyone can search. But that information usually includes things like your name, your address, and your birth date. Sometimes they also include things like your party affiliation or when you were a registered voter and things like that. But I would make the argument that, you know, your address being posted publicly online is pretty sensitive information.
Absolutely. And so, you know, a number of states have tried to make this voter registration information more private in recent years, or at least prevent it from being published online. What's behind those efforts?
So a lot of these efforts are because of online privacy concerns, right? So this is a big issue for states right now because election transparency laws do require voter record rolls to be publicly available. But publicly available, it has a very different meaning today than it did in 1993 when the law originally passed requiring this transparency, right? And I think what the states are trying to do is say, no, you can have these records for your purposes to make sure that there's no election fraud going on as long as you agree to not post this information online for the entire world to see.
How real is this problem of registered voters being doxxed or harassed because their information is now online?
So this is not a hypothetical issue of people's voter registration information being used to dox them. I found four campaigns relying on a single voter registration database that's available online where they use their voter registration records to say, oh, this is this person's address, and here's the source for it. And the link goes to this voter registration database that has millions of people's voter registration records on it. So there was a Pew Research poll in like 2016 that talked about how 11% of unregistered voters were not registered voters because they had privacy and security concerns. If you think about it, that's 1 in 10 unregistered voters that have issues with their data being publicly available. And that's a huge chunk of registered voters that you could be getting if there were just stronger privacy measurements here.
And how much of this harassment is driven by politics? Like, are people being targeted because of their party affiliation or voting record, or is this unrelated to politics?
So based on the campaigns that I've seen and just, you know, the motivations behind them, it doesn't really seem to be tied to, like, someone's political affiliation, right? It's not like, oh, let's round up the addresses of everyone who's a registered Democrat and go harass them. It's more targeted in the sense of, you know, there's this person online who we want to disrupt, we want to do SWAT calls on them or something like that, or we just want to post their address online just to bother them even more. And the voter registration records are just a source for it. It's not like oh, this guy's a Democrat, let's ruin his life or something like that, so much as, oh, we just need to find this guy's address and the voter registration records, like, just provide it openly for us.
Alfred, you found some examples of this data being abused. What exactly are you seeing?
Yeah, so we found multiple doxing campaigns that were basically relying on voter registration records as the source for people's addresses. And these campaigns, you know, I found them on forums that's their whole gimmick, right? They make these posts saying, hey, there's this person. These are the annoying things that I find about them. Here's their address. Do whatever you want with it. These are not like things in Facebook groups or Twitter forums or anything like that. It's like you really have to go out of your way to find these forums. But there are coordinated harassment campaigns being done on these websites, and we found four examples where they were relying on voter registration records to basically as the source of a person's address in these campaigns.
You can kind of go down this rabbit hole looking at this underbelly of information sharing and how it can be used for doxing and harassment campaigns. That's fascinating to me, actually.
Yeah, it's very scary. I think seeing how easily it's done and also just seeing the motivation for these campaigns, some of them I had seen were literally just this person made YouTube videos that I disagreed with or, you know, tweeted something that I didn't approve of. It's scary how something like that and mixed with the availability of your information can lead to, you know, people calling the police on your house or making these like fake pizza delivery orders and just harassing you day in and day out. It's definitely a problem.
We'll be right back. But I mean, even with these examples, you know, most of these state efforts have failed due to legal challenges brought by conservative groups. Who's behind this fight and what exactly do they want?
So, yeah, these challenges that we've seen in New Mexico and Pennsylvania, they have come from the Voter Reference Foundation, which is an election transparency group. When I've reached out to them about the doxing concerns, you know, they were saying that, well, we're concerned with election transparency. We want to give the power back to the people to check on, you know, examples of voter fraud, right? Their main argument has been that all of these voter record rolls are really difficult for the average person to obtain and that we're making it easier for everybody to get their hands on it so that you can go to the polls and you can say, oh, this person is not a registered voter. And that's kind of where like the Public Interest Legal Foundation comes in as well. So they started in 2012 and, you know, they've sued a lot of states for access to their voter record rolls.
Is their motive here to like try to identify and root out fraudulent voters, or is it so that voters can access these records and confirm that they are properly registered themselves?
It's the first one. So their main goal is to, you know, root out voter fraud and be able to check to see if somebody is actually a registered voter in a state. I know that secretaries of states have criticized their methodologies because, you know, these voter record rolls that they provide, whenever they provide them, they're not constantly up to date, right? It's not like those voter record rolls are always being updated. So there's like a very high possible chance that you could confront somebody that was not in the voter record rolls that you have because they registered after that had happened. So it's this like fight to keep getting more data in the name of election transparency.
Got it. You know, I'm curious about the politics at play here, because you were saying earlier that people are not being targeted because of their party affiliation. It does seem in some ways, though, that this issue has gotten enmeshed in kind of the partisan fighting over election integrity and election oversight coming out of the 2020 presidential race. So how exactly do you see this fitting into kind of that larger political context?
Yeah, I generally see this as kind of collateral damage in that larger fight that you're talking about over election integrity and oversight coming out of the 2020 presidential election. I think that that is, you know, its own fight going on about election fraud and how common it is and things like that. And I think voters' privacy is getting hurt in the process because all of this information is being posted online now, and that is hurting real people.
And so what's the solution here? I mean, ultimately, will Washington need to weigh in on this dispute in order for it to reach any sort of resolution?
Yeah, I don't want there to be any misconception that, like, I'm making an argument saying, no, people should not get voter registration records, or that I'm against election transparency in any way. I know how important it is to be able to check these voter record rolls and make sure that people are actually registered to vote, because people, like, that was the whole point of the 1993 laws, to make sure that people are not unfairly disenfranchised from voting. So the Justice Department sent an amicus brief in the case in Maine, where they did side with the election transparency groups to say, no, they should provide the records for this. But they also did say, but maybe this court should consider limits on preemption for sensitive information being posted online. And I think that's going to be what it takes from Congress. I think it's going to have to be very carefully tailored to ensure that election transparency does still exist, but the ability to post people's names wholesale online, like what's happening right now, that might be a bigger challenge. So I think it's going to have to be this very carefully tailored solution that people way above my pay grade should be able to figure out.
Alfred, thanks for joining us on Politico Tech.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. You can read Alfred's latest story at politico.com. And for more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.